Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 46 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. Thanks, as always, for being here. How you doing, Tony?
I am well.
That's good. Are you prepared for the holidays?
I'm preparing for the holidays.
You are preparing. And speaking of which, next week is going to be our holiday spectacular. We're having a...
You know, I don't really know what it entails. We discussed it at lunch, but what...
All we said was that we were going to have a holiday spectacular show next week. So it'll be full of holiday surprises is what it'll be full
apparently
of.
Even for me.
Yeah. No, we'll talk about it later.
What? Okay. You and I will talk about it?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, you and I will talk about it offline
okay.
later. But one thing we're going to do for sure is we're going to talk about a lot of entertainment-related stuff that has to do with the holidays. And, you know, we might have some ideas for gifts for you, your friends, your loved ones, even your little children, your pets, perhaps, and lots of other...
Which, by the way, I have every intention of buying one of my dogs a Snuggie.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not going with Slanket?
Is that different than a Snuggie? It's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, it's a different product, but it's the same idea.
Well, one of them makes them specifically for dogs also.
Oh, okay.
Like they make them for a dog.
I gotcha.
And my larger dog wouldn't enjoy it, but I think the little one would.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congratulations to him, man.
I don't know why.
I really don't know what else to say about that.
I went off on that tangent.
I don't know. Don't forget, you can visit us on Facebook and become a fan of us there. Go to iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review and a rating. And as always, you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com.
And maybe give us a little shout out on our fan page on Facebook.
Sure. We like to hear from you.
I mean, I recently I've been trying to send out like updates to let you know what we talked about and when the episode is up, and a few of you have been, you know, just saying hello on there, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, we like that. By the way, do you want to plug in the Christmas tree? Are you sad that it's not plugged in?
It's fine.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah,
because it looks.
This
a little,
is not the holiday spectacular.
It looks a, I know, so. But it looks a little sad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll plug it in later after you're gone, Mr. Grinch. So what have you been playing video game wise?
okay, well, I'm going to go back to God of War Collection.
Okay.
You know, there's just so much game on that disc, but I did finish the first one.
Okay.
And I'm probably almost halfway through the second one.
Okay.
Let me say, this is something that I haven't mentioned before, but one of the things that makes these games so good is that the puzzles that they have in there are intelligent without being like, what was the developer thinking?
Right.
And they're not so like... You know, where there's like four things on four different symbols and you've got to match it with four different symbols on the wall. I mean, they're not that idiotic,
where
a monkey could do it.
Right.
No, I mean, they require some thought.
I know. Some of those monkeys are pretty good at video games, I have to say.
Well, I'm just
I've
saying,
seen the videos
you know, some
on YouTube.
Of, some of those games where they have like a puzzle. And I hate to say, but Uncharted is a little guilty of that. Like, there's a couple
of the what was the developer was thinking? Or,
no,
or
of
the monkey
of, like,
puzzle.
It's just so easy. Like, you get this little... clue book and you know it'll show like a symbol and then you go and there you know a symbol with like a color and then you go and there's like
see, I wouldn't be able to
four
play that
colored keys well I'm just using this as an example this isn't a specific I mean I'm making this up
no
I it's not far from this
right
and you know you match the colored key with the symbol and just like you know anyone could do that but this one it actually you know all the puzzles in the God of War games,
there's something you have to actually figure out
right but it's not so hard that you know
that you can't
but it's just hard enough that you know
it's challenging
right
without making you feel like it's impossible
but I'm really enjoying them I'm really enjoying these games and I've talked about it
so
it's like a fourth
go.
Week I've talked
fine.
About it
there's nothing wrong with that you just told us something new about it, so there you go.
I do want to mention...
No, wait, what's the viewpoint in this game again? Is it first person, third
person? It's
third
person.
Okay. And your character is what? What do you play?
Kratos.
Oh, it's like
the God of War. Well, I mean, I won't ruin any of the story, but...
Is he Greek?
Yes. Oh. And there's a lot of other Greek characters, like Zeus is...
That's kind of a coincidence, don't you think? Because we just had Greek food for lunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't
By
know
way,
about
I
the
had
coincidence.
This, but... I had this braised lamb with rosemarina.
Yeah,
and I have to say, I didn't know what I was in the mood for when we went there, but that really, really hit the spot. It was perfect. It had this nice, like, kind
of... What was the stuff that you had picked off of it and put on the plate next to it?
That would be fat.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't need to eat that. Well, you were going to say something. What?
No.
No, but it had this nice, spicy, smoky flavor, and it just was really, really good because it's very cold out. It's been snowing for the last 2 days, which I love. But, you know, I was really in the mood for something like that.
Yeah, I have to say though that the Scordalia appetizer we ordered,
yeah,
it's still
coming
with
back
me.
To haunt
it's
you.
Still with me a little.
A lot of garlic in there.
Yeah, A lot of garlic.
Yeah. But that stuff is good. I love that. Okay, so what else have you been playing?
I'm getting the info on it right now, but it's a iPhone game, which I haven't talked about in a while. I haven't talked about any iPhone games, but this one is called Suzes. And the reason I bring this one up is because this is the first iPhone game that's like a platformer or adventure game where they totally get the controls right.
Okay.
And they're just so simplistic. You use your thumbs, you know, you hold it
like you
landscape
would
mode.
Like a, yeah, okay.
And there's two little buttons on the bottom left for go left or go right, and then a jump button is your right thumb.
Okay.
And I know, I mean, it just sounds so simplistic,
but
why don't most games do it? But they don't.
Yeah.
And it just works so well with this game that it becomes like intuitive and you like don't even like controls never even enter your mind. Whereas most iPhone games
you have to think about
controls
it.
Are an issue.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So for that it's fun. It's a typical like people, you know, in some of the reviews here they're comparing it to Super Mario Galaxy or something. I don't know. I never played it.
Or Pitfall.
No. No.
No.
It's a cool little game. It's $2.99.
Okay.
There is a free demo version.
Ooh, so a light.
But I've been having a lot of fun with it. I mean it's more so than, you know, most iPhone games you play a little and
then
you like,
get sick
of
them,
it.
Yeah.
This one it's actually pretty challenging and it's pretty, you know, there's a lot of levels.
Don't you just wish you could hook up an HDMI cable to it and watch it on a big screen though?
No, because I think it would be disappointing then.
Oh,
I mean, this game lends itself to the small screen.
Yeah. So. Is it cartoony like a Super Mario game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, boy, he's turning the whole. Oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
Looks like old school.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun.
I like games like that. They're fun.
But, I mean, it's very similar to like a Mario game. You collect coins and, you know, to kill the enemies, you jump on their heads.
What about
like,
the music? Because, you know, the music is one of the things.
You would like it.
Really?
You would like it.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a ragtime feel to it.
So it's a little bit like mappy in that sense?
It is. And in fact, it's similar in, is it mappy? No, I'm thinking of Flicky. You also have to find your little friends and they follow you.
Oh,
so
that is like
that
Flicky.
Element to it as
well. Wow, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely worth the $2.99.
Yeah.
Because I've played it a couple hours so far.
Don't you think that's interesting, though, about the Super Mario games, how much of those games stays with you because specifically of the music and even things like the sound effects? I mean, it's just like, you know, TiVo and even more recently Flip have been, you know, really marketing themselves a lot based on their little goofy sound effects. But so many of the sound effects in the Super Mario games are just, you know, they're in everyone's sort of lexicon of,
right.
of gaming. And it's really funny how much that and again, the music. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of those things on YouTube or whatever where it's, you know, somebody playing the Super Mario theme song on whatever, the electric guitar or the
right. Well, have you
or...
seen the commercials for the new Super Mario game on the Wii where it's actually people going through, I mean.
I don't think so.
Oh, you in a break, I'll find it online and I'll show it to you. But it's really cool. It's people like in the real world, but there's certain, just a couple elements from it and the music's playing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And is it the same classic music or did, But now you said that's not the original game, just ported to the Wii,
right? I don't know.
Right?
That was a guess. I would imagine not. I mean.
Yeah. Why would they do that?
Right.
Yeah. And you can get a gamepad controller for the Wii to play
that? I don't know
that
either. You're the one that owns the Wii.
Well, I know, but, you know.
I don't.
I should really look into these things.
Which, as a side note, my work, where I work, is doing a Christmas, you know, every year for the Christmas party they do, like a raffle. Where, you know, they put all the employees' names in and then they pick out prizes. But now what they're doing is they listed all the prizes that they have. And you go in and you're allowed to pick one prize. So you put your name in and that's the prize that you want to be in the drawing
for. So if
for.
You get, if you win, you get to pick which thing you win.
Right. And
nice.
So you know, we have to go look at the list and then pick the thing. But what's really weird is they let you see what other people have picked.
That is weird.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously I'm going to pick the thing. I mean, I'm not much... In this case, I'm not going to be much of a gambler, so I'll pick the thing that the least amount of people have put their name next to. But the big prize, well, the second biggest prize, is a Wii. And I toyed with the idea of it, but then I looked at the list, and that's what a lot of people are going for.
So wait, I don't understand. Why does the number of people on it have anything to do with
anything? Because you write down the – it was a list of employees, and you write down the prize you want to play for.
Okay.
So I saw that, like, 30 people wanted to play for the Wii. There's one Wii, so they're going to pick a name out of 30 names. Whereas the $100 gift certificate to so-and-so restaurant may have no names. That's the thing I'm going to pick because I have a much better chance of winning that.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying now. Oh, so they're giving away all of the prizes.
Yes.
It's not like they're giving away one prize and whoever wins gets to pick what they want.
The list is of the available prizes.
I gotcha.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but I kind of have it in with the HR department. So I said, when does this end? And then he told me like 5 o'clock on Thursday. And I said, I'll be here at 4:50 on Thursday.
To put your name on a bunch
of
other prizes.
Because then I can see what everyone else has picked.
Can you put your name on more than one thing?
No, just one thing.
Oh, so you haven't done yours yet?
No, I saw the list and I said, Joe, I have to do this. Right.
Yeah, you're very sneaky.
Well, I'm not going for the big prizes. I'm going to go for the one that I know I'm going to win.
Are they giving away a car?
No. The big prize is like a weekend in New York.
With Bernie.
That's not something you want.
No, you don't want that. Well, I've been playing World of Warcraft, of course, and have just gotten into Northrend now, so I'm kind of done with Outland. So that's been kind of fun. Still been playing Half-Life 2. And then our listener Stritch told me about an iPhone game called Flipped, and so I got that, also $2.99. And it's a platform game, and the controls are pretty simple. Again, you move back and forth, you know, by touching either side of the screen. So if you touch left, you go left. If you touch right, you go right. And then whichever other finger you're not using to move, if you tap that, you'll jump. But the really different thing about this is that if you turn the phone upside down, then all of a sudden the landscape turns upside down, and you can get to areas that you couldn't get to before.
Oh, that's cool.
So it is kind of neat. But I find that... And maybe I just haven't played enough because I really have not played it that much. But I find that I get a little bit confused by, I expected my character to appear in a certain place after I flipped it over, and it doesn't always do that. Like, you would think that it would be in the same place just with the landscape turned upside down. But like, if you're on, I don't know.
So there's gravity is what you're saying.
No, there's no gravity. What it is like if you're, let's say if you're on the floor, when you turn the phone upside down, you won't then fall down. You'll be on the top side of that floor.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean? So it's a little confusing to me in terms of where you end up because that's not what I'm thinking when I turn it over. So then I might turn it over and think that I was going to be able to get somewhere else, but then I really can't because it put me in a different place. But it's definitely a cool concept, and I think the controls are pretty easy so far. But then, you know, I haven't played Suzus.
You have not played Suzus.
So I might not know what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know. That sounds easy enough, too. Just the ones where, like, I don't like the ones where I have to touch a part of the screen that is involved in the gameplay in order to do something. Because then I'm obstructing my view of a potential enemy.
And if you got big nubby fingers like I do, that makes it even worse.
Well, I know.
You know what I mean?
That's what's terrible. Great about Suzus is the controls are on the bottom of the screen, so they're never in the way of what's going on the screen.
Yeah, see, that is cool. Even on games like, you know, I got that Galaga remix, the controls stink. And it's the same thing. It's left and right. But on a game like that, you know, you really need to be at a big heavy cabinet yanking on that joystick back and forth so that you're not, you know, you really have the control over your ship without disrupting the actual physical game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's hopefully the last time you will ever hear me say anything about yanking on the joystick on this program.
I bet it won't.
As for right now, time for a tasty cold beverage. Drinking a Diet RC. It's my beverage of choice.
There was one other thing I wanted to say. Oh, they did come out. Speaking of annoying controls, remember when they first launched the App Store and the hot game at launch was Super Monkey Ball?
Yes.
But it was impossible to control.
I do remember
Well, now
that.
They have a Super Monkey Ball, too, where they say they've fixed the controls.
Yeah.
And so I've read a couple of reviews on it, and they say it is a lot easier to control, but it's not perfect. But they're still charging. Here's what gets me. They're still charging $10 for this game.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
With everything that's free and $2.99 now?
Right.
Wow. Well, you know, it's Sega. What do you want? They're greedy.
And they don't even put a demo up. There's not even a free version to try it.
That's really lousy.
Right.
They should at least give you like three levels.
Right.
Or something.
I mean, at least to see if you can work the controls. Because who wants to spend $10 and then you still can't control it like the last one?
Right. Well, the really bad problem about any game like that is that every time you tilt it away from you to move, you can't see the screen anymore.
Right.
I mean, any of those tilt-to-move games have that problem.
Right.
Unless they're just so hypersensitive that you don't have to tilt it that much, but then usually the controls are too crazy.
Right.
And then you can't...
And janky.
And janky. They're very janky. That's actually a good point. Sometimes I forget about the janky nature of things.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm glad glad you're here to remind me of that.
Did you have anything to say about Half-Life 2, or are you just, you're just playing it through, having fun?
Yeah, I will say the last part that I just did was... we don't go to Ravenholm anymore. I swear that creeps me out. Yeah. It's so creepy because I think that is the first place where you encounter the black crabs, the toxic ones.
Right.
And then there are three kinds of crabs. There's the regular head crabs that are slow. What?
I'm not going to make my crab joke.
Okay, good.
It's too easy.
They're the regular head crabs, which are slow and pretty easy to deal with.
Right.
The black ones, which are toxic and fast, and they like jump at you,
right,
like from really far away, and they just like give you the creeps nonstop pretty much. And then there are the ones that are the same shape and speed as the black ones, but they're the same color as the slow ones, the tan ones that are really fast, but they're not toxic, I don't think.
Right.
And so I just finished Ravenholm, and it's so creepy. I mean, that whole section of the game is so creepy. And then after that, you're going into this mine, and the whole part about getting down into the mine, when you start to go down into the mine, you see that the whole floor of the cavern or whatever that you go into is just covered with all three kinds, right, of the head crabs.
Right.
Oh my God, it's so creepy. It's such a great game.
It is.
If you haven't played it, you're probably a dork. I'm just kidding.
On to miscellaneous?
Yeah, go for it.
It appears that the new Star Wars game that will be announced during this, actually I believe this weekend's Video Game Awards on Spike, is titled Star Wars Legends.
What's that about?
It's a new game.
Thank you.
Star Wars.
I got that from the first part of the news item. But what kind of game is it?
There's no details.
Let me guess.
Than
there's
that.
Jedi's and there's spaceships and there's a Master Yoda.
There's no details.
Is there
other
a Darth
than
Vader?
That.
Will there be outer
I have
space
no
weapons?
No other information.
Does it take place in the past?
Okay, we're moving on to number two.
Okay. You can at least answer that one.
What?
Does it take place in the past?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Good.
This is weird. TV design show turned video game Project Runway is coming to the Wii on March 2nd.
What? Where is the game in that?
I don't know.
Where is the game in that? Speaking of which, have you seen the commercials for a TV show called Launch My Line? I don't know how you could have missed them because it's advertised constantly.
I have seen it, yeah.
But it's basically like...
It's Project Runway.
It's like Project Runway with the stars.
Right.
It's like the Dancing with the Stars version of Project Runway. There's one designer and there's one non-designer, and the non-designer is hoping to get their line actually made.
Right.
Why would anyone care if you're not a designer? Why does the guy who makes coffee at the Starbucks, why does he care about getting his line launched?
So he can stop serving coffee at the Starbucks.
Oh, see, I didn't think about it like that. No, but I mean, some of these people are, you know, successful in their whatever business they're in.
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Maybe it's their dream.
Okay, well, they need to get better dreams. I don't like those dreams.
80s arcade classic Dragon's Lair is coming to the iPhone this month.
Yeah, talk about frustrating controls.
Right.
Both that and Space Ace. I think I cursed at those games.
Which will be following Dragon's Lair,
I'm sure,
by the way.
I think I probably cursed at those games more than any other games in the arcade era, other than Bagman.
Right.
Bagman was
But it wasn't
one.
A control issue. It was a time issue.
But that was because of the controls. Because the controls were not super responsive. So you would move the joystick, you would yank the joystick and then nothing would happen. And then next thing you know, you're dead and you got to start over.
Right.
And that game was tough because you had to, you know, depending on where you died and how far in you were, that could be a nightmare starting over again.
Right. Lastly, Dead Space 2 has been announced for the PC, Xbox 360 and PS3.
Did you ever play
the first one?
No.
It's fun. It's good.
Yeah. Somebody gave me a copy of it, not realizing, of course, that you can't actually install it again because the license has already been used.
Oh, really?
Well, at least I couldn't. But yeah, that was the one where the guy constantly runs with the guns out in front of him, right?
Right?
Yeah. So you liked it?
I did like it.
I heard a lot of bad things about it.
I have nothing bad. It's kind of scary. You know, I'm sometimes about the scary games.
You get a little.
But...
A little scary.
No, I had fun with it. I'm not finished with it. I mean, I have it on 360. I own it. But
Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, I'm just saying I still have it, so I can still go back to it.
Right.
Not like some of the other games that I rent.
I'm really looking forward to Mass Effect 2. And I,
you know what? I kind of am too. And it kind of makes me want to go back and get the first one and try it again.
How far did you get into it?
Not far. Like an hour.
Oh, you got to play that game all the way through.
It was just boring for me. I don't like having to read all the dialogue, first of all.
Yeah, there's a lot of dialogue in that game. Well, then why would you want to go back and play it again?
Because I'm going to feel... Because this one looks more action-oriented, and they say it's as much a shooter as it is an RPG. I mean, that's appealing to me.
Okay.
But I don't want to miss out on any of the mythos or the story.
Yeah.
So...
It was really cool. It's too bad that you didn't get to play through the whole thing, because there was some really... The game had such a unique feel. It was unlike any other game I've ever played.
Right.
In that sense. I mean, before it came out, I remember reading all these things in magazines and on websites saying, you know, the mythos was, you know, as fantastic as Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay, don't say stuff like that, because it's never going to be true. So you
and
just make yourself
you're going to go in with like a doubting nature.
Exactly. And so you're just making yourself look like an idiot, and then you're setting up people for disappointment.
Right.
But with that said, it did have a cool mythos. It had a really cool setting, and the sound effects and music, again, all played together to make for a really very singular environment. And it was so funny because we started decorating the house for Christmas the other day, and we have these I don't know if you ever heard of these things. They're called wax dipped bears. But basically, it's like somebody takes a stuffed animal and they dip it in melted, scented wax so that, and you just put it in a room as a decoration, but then it also gives off a scent like a scented candle.
Right.
But the thing about it is because it's so big and because the you know, fabric of the plush figure holds the scent and the wax, it'll retain its smell for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Is it sticky?
No, it's not sticky. I mean, it definitely feels waxy, but you don't really, it's not like you're playing with it. You just set it down somewhere. So we have two of these. One is a bear that somebody gave us, and then we've had it for like 10 years, and it still has a pretty decent scent to it. And then it was when it started to wear off a couple of years ago, I got another one that's a moose with antlers, you know, so it's like a Christmas moose thing.
Right.
And I must have been playing Mass Effect while that thing was out. Because as soon as I put it out, all of a sudden I had total flashbacks to that game. And because you know how smells will do that, just bring something right back. And it was really making me crave, you know, that game and that environment and playing the next one. So I hope it's, you know, at least as good as the first one.
I did. Well, I'm sure. I did read something. I know a lot of people's complaints about the first one. And I don't remember this because, like I said, I only played about an hour. But a lot of people's complaints were the load time was while you were on an elevator.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar to you?
No, I don't remember that.
If you got into an elevator, that's when they would use to load. So you were in that elevator for a long time, so it became frustrating.
I don't remember that. The only place that I remember being in an elevator for a long time was in part of the big like space city.
Okay.
That the government people or whatever were like way at the top of this giant tower. But I don't remember any other elevators taking...
I guess they used that as a way to load, but, you know, to not have a load screen.
Yeah, but I don't remember having to deal with that in any other part of the game.
Well, now there'll be some kind of movie that shows while it's loading. So.
Is Seth Green still doing one of the voices?
I do not know. That's a good question.
He was the voice of the, like, you know, I don't know. Wheelchair-bound, you know, awesome space pilot guy who flew your ship around for you. You know, the one complaint that I will say, because I thought the voice acting was pretty good, the one complaint I will say about it, though, was that the guy who was the lead, he actually was a little bit too stiff. Like, he needed to just lighten up a little bit.
Right.
You know, that's got to be a hard balance to find between being too stiff and too serious and being too, you know, flip.
Right.
You got to find that balance. So there's my advice to you developers. Find the balance. I got nothing else for video games.
I don't either.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. What would you like to speak about first?
Let's discuss Flash Forward.
Okay. So last week's Flash Forward, I know that previously on this show, we've mocked Flash Forward a little bit because of the overacting in particular of Joseph Fiennes. And I've even gone so far in the past as to say that he has given us a masterclass in overacting.
Uh-huh.
Nothing that has happened before last week could compare with the overacting of last week's episode. It was so ridiculous, so completely ridiculous and over the top. And he is now like a thug. First of all, their superior, what's his name?
Courtney B. Vance.
Yeah. Wittick, is that it?
Sure.
Okay, whatever. Courtney B. Vance.
For lack of any better name, sure.
Yeah. Seaman Jones, as I like to call him, gave them a direct order not to go to Hong Kong to follow up on the lead having to do with the woman who called, what's his name, to tell him he was going to be murdered. So they decide to, Joe Fiennes' character decides to completely ignore that order from his FBI superior. And so they just get on a plane and they go to Hong Kong. And they find a woman and they get in a scuttle and everything. But in the meantime, he's being like Mr. Tough Guy thug FBI agent. And at one point, he even says to some guy, you know, some man is like, I'm sorry, I just can't help you. He's like, no, I think you've got that backwards. Because if you can't help us, you will be sorry. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous.
It really was.
There was something. What were the other things that you had mentioned specifically that you thought were really dumb?
As far as his overacting?
Yeah.
Well, there was what you had just mentioned when he was talking to John Cho's character about them, you know, how they're not supposed to go to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, he's going to be really mad. And his response was to me like, well, that's his problem. Or something to that effect. Just really stupid.
And then did you ever think of the other thing?
No.
Oh.
No, there was something else that, some little prop thing that, I can't think of what it was. But you know what I'll say? Okay, now it's going to be off now till March.
Right.
It still has my interest. And one of the things I like about it is that it doesn't drag stuff out.
Yeah, for the most part.
And so, like, for example, the whole... Gabrielle Union's character,
right.
John Cho's fiance. Yeah. I don't know her name.
Can't remember.
Do
we want to look this up or not really?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's not worth spending the time just to find her name.
That's true.
But, you know, she kept seeing her flash forward and she thought...
Should we just call her Becky?
Sure.
Okay, Becky.
She thought she was at her wedding because, you know, everyone's on the beach and they're wearing white. And then... You know, you could tell as the viewer at the beginning of the episode that she wasn't at their wedding. She was at his funeral.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that within a half hour, she realizes that.
Exactly.
Rather than dragging that on three episodes or more, you know.
Did you also like how his racist parents finally gave her their blessing to marry him?
Because they know he's going to die.
Right. So it doesn't matter. That was such a weird scene.
I also like how they immediately introduce now... I want to call him Charlie, but
Dominic Monaghan's character.
Right, him and Simcoe, you know, thought they were completely responsible for the thing, and now you find out.
And now
out
they realize they probably had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
That there's some even larger mastermind behind
it. And what was great about that was I actually really liked where they took that part of the story because they were talking to Charlie. It's so ridiculous that we're calling him Charlie.
Right.
But anyway.
But he'll always be Charlie.
He will always be Charlie.
Until I find his Lord of the Rings name.
the Hobbit who likes breakfast. That's what I call him. We've only had first breakfast. What about second breakfast? So he was telling them about some piece of technology that he invented that they had a picture of, those towers in Somalia. And he invented it like, what was it, 12, 13, 15 years after that was actually built.
Right.
So now you have no idea what's going on. But then... So there was the whole weird thing about the woman, you know, Behrouz's mom.
Right.
We're just referring to everyone on the show by their names from other TV shows.
Right.
So Behrouz's mom.
Behrouz.
I'm creeping myself out with my bug eyes. But I'm going to tell you, Agent, the man who shot you is sitting at this table. It is your partner. He's going to shoot you on purpose with that gun. I know the serial number.
Why did she know the serial number?
Right.
How did she know the serial number of his gun? But anyway, so she is in league with the bad guy, who, by the way, wasn't he the bad guy in the first season of 24? Wasn't he like the head
bad
guy? I think so.
Oh, I don't remember that far back.
I think it was that guy. So she's in league with the bad guy. So now I'm confused because why is she working with the CIA if she's in league with the bad guy?
Didn't they say she was like ambassador to China or
she's
something?
She's something.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense since she's not Chinese or American.
Right. Well, so she could be the ambassador from another country.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But why is she working with the CIA if she's the bad guy?
I don't know.
See where I'm going with this, though?
Yes.
But I have to say, story-wise, it's getting much more intriguing.
Yes. And did you watch, I know you don't like to watch these things all the time, did you watch what they show is coming up?
I don't think so.
Oh, it looks pretty cool.
Really?
Because they say that there's the possibility of a second blackout.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, that would at least let the rest of the world know that Simcoe and Charlie are not responsible.
Right.
Because they said we've shut down our thing. There's no possible way another one could happen.
Right.
You know what would be weird is if in the second blackout, they just see TV shows. And then it's a struggle to see how can they get these shows made on budget and on time. But then there was mention of alternate realities, right? Wasn't
with
there?
Whom? No, I don't remember that.
Really? Is that not the case?
Are you thinking of something else?
Maybe. Wasn't there a mention of alternate realities, alternate worlds, universes, parallel worlds?
Oh, there was the whole talk about because apparently the doctor... I want to call her Penny.
Penny. Let's just call her Penny.
How she was going to go to Harvard or Yale, wherever Simcoe went.
Right.
And
right. So Simcoe was talking about...
And then
about,
all of a sudden, in a weird conversation, she's just like, I was going to live in this building. Like, wasn't that weird?
Yeah, that was really strange.
And then he's like, oh, that's right next to where I live.
Why would you mention that?
And then he says that his wife lived where she was going to live.
Right.
So... In another world, you know, they keep saying, what if, what if?
So he was talking about how there's a theory that every decision that every person makes actually spawns a new alternate reality in which they did make that decision.
Right. Like the movie Sliding Doors. With
exactly. So they were talking about that. But then you have to wonder, did these devices actually show them the future or did they show them one of these
an
other
option.
Alternate
right.
realities.
Right.
Because obviously the dude who killed himself
right.
changed something.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah,
it's crazy. All right, let's talk about, you want to talk about The Office next? Or
sure.
Okay, so in The Office, one of the most uncomfortable half hours of television
yes,
ever.
But really, really clever in yeah. that, like, it's just, it's Michael at his most Michael.
His most Michael-y. The story was that he had to go to this high school because all these people were graduating, and when they were kids, like
in third grade,
10 years previous to this, he made them all a promise that if they graduated high school, he would pay for their college tuition, an entire class of kids. So it's time to pay the piper, and of course, there's no way he could even pay for one of them to go to college.
Right.
So he has to go there because they're having this big, you know, celebration in his honor, and he has to go there and tell them that it's not going to happen. And it was just so ridiculously uncomfortable because they've written songs for him. They're putting on little musical numbers.
Giving like heartfelt speeches. And
yeah. Oh, my God. It was. And they were like all inner city kids kind of.
But what was really nice about it, and Aaron says this, is at the end, and I thought it while it was going on, too. Though he tried to do a good thing and he did a terrible thing, he really did do a good thing because that class had the highest like graduation rate
exactly.
of any of the other classes.
Yeah, by like 70%
right.
or something like that. So he actually motivated them to do well
right.
in high school.
So in the end, he did do something good. So for that, I mean, the writing was good and it was clever in that. They didn't make him a total jerk.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
or who just did something so terrible and then, you
and
know,
didn't care
you know,
about it.
They'll never bring it up again. So
right.
it'll just be, you know.
Yeah. And then the sub story was that Dwight convinces Jim that they should do an employee of the month thing. And then he basically stacks the numbers for who should be awarded in Jim's honor so that he looks really bad in front of everybody by awarding himself the prize. Cause they were doing it all anonymously. He's like, well, I'll just give you, you know, spreadsheets of everybody's, you know, performance data. And then you can award it based on that. And so he says, okay, so the winner is number 12 or whatever. And they say, oh, number 12, that's Jim Halpert. And so he's like, no, wait, there's got to be some mistake. Right. And so then the next winner was, of course, Pam.
Right. And while this is going on, a cake comes, a big congratulations cake with Jim's picture on it.
Right. Because Dwight was setting him up to look bad because right. he wants him to be fired.
Right.
And what? Oh, wait. So you, did you not hear?
No, I saw the part with David Wallace.
Okay. Where it sounds like David Wallace is really mad at him, but uh-huh. then you hear that they're actually like buddy-buddy and that Jim is getting together with David Wallace for dinner right. pretty soon. And but then at the very end of the episode, Ryan comes in and tells Dwight that he knows that he's trying to set Jim up for failure, and he tells him he wants in on it.
Right.
So I hope they don't do much with that because I really...
I just hope they don't take it too far.
I know. I really hate Ryan's character, and I don't want to see anything that really focuses on him other than him getting his comeuppance.
Right.
So if they do it all in one episode, I'm fine with that. If they do it for more than one episode, it's going to really bug me. I'm just saying. All right, so then on Glee last week...
Finally, your dream has come true.
Finally, my dream has come true. Shu finds out that his wife's pregnancy is fake.
Right.
I was so happy about that.
Because they really could have dragged that on with
Forever.
Prince baby and like...
They could have dragged that on for 9 months.
Right.
So that was great. And I thought it was appropriately handled, too. I mean, there was pretty much no humor in that part of the show,
right?
As there should not have
right.
been.
You know, that was the first moment I can remember of that on there.
Right. And it was a little bit intense for that show. Overall, even though I'm glad that happened, overall, I'd say it was probably one of my least favorite episodes.
Yeah, you know,
I didn't
mine
think
too,
the music was great.
No, that is such a bastardization, if I can use that word. Of the Van Halen song Jump, like it was cringeworthy to me.
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not
a huge fan of that. I mean, because I'm a Van Halen fan, so I'm not a huge fan of that song to begin with. Because that's
too
pop. That's when they went a little poppy. Yeah. But I mean, they dipped it in sugar and rolled it in fudge. Yeah, dipped it in syrup and rolled it in sugar and right.
Yeah. They made they were doing a commercial for a mattress store. Which I thought that whole idea was pretty funny and how that all came about.
Uh-huh.
But just musically, it was not a great episode.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was probably their least, had the least payoff of any of them. So
tonight's episode will be the last until after the holidays. So I think tonight is the first part of the sectionals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. They're probably going to leave us with a cliffhanger.
I'm sure.
I would assume. Maybe somebody doesn't show up. Well, Shu can't go, right?
Right.
Because of he slept on a mattress from the mattress store.
Right.
And so naturally, he can't go to sectionals. So that was pretty good. We also watched Stargate Universe last week, and it was actually the best episode so far, I have to say.
And this was episode what?
I don't know.
Yeah, like 8 or 9, right?
Yeah. I didn't say it was the first good episode. I said it was the best one so far.
Okay.
And it was also pretty intense.
Is there a bad guy?
There may be a bad guy. Well, first of all, Rush is quite obviously now a bad guy.
Not Rush.
He covered up a suicide and framed the head guy, Young. Yeah.
Well, that would be a bad guy who would do that.
Well, yeah.
Good guys don't do that.
Yeah. Not only that, but then the ship stops at a planet and they go looking for water and other stuff, and they find a spaceship, just a crashed spaceship on the surface of the planet. So Young is out there with Rush, and everyone else has gone back. Because the way this works is the ship automatically stops at places that have things that it needs. Like, the ship has some amount of intelligence to it. And it leaves the Stargate open so they can go down to the planet for a limited time, and then they have to get back before it closes the Stargate and goes back into hyperspace. So they only have, whenever they, go onto the surface of a planet, they only have like a 12-hour window or something. So they find this spaceship, and a bunch of people go down to investigate it, and the rest of them have gone back except for Young and Rush. And Young tells Rush that he knows that he covered up the suicide and framed him. And Rush is like, well, what are you going to do about it? And so Young beats the crap out of him and leaves him on the planet and gets back on the ship, and it takes off. So now Rush is stuck on this planet. And they, at least by the end of the episode, they hadn't figured out how to even get into that spaceship, which I'm sure he will do because obviously he's one of the lead characters, so they're not going to have him be dead. But it'll be pretty interesting to see where they go with that now. And we finished watching Doctor Who Series 4, which was very entertaining, I must say. Really looking forward to series 5, although it will be with a new Doctor and a new companion. They do these Christmas specials every year for Doctor Who, so I don't know if we get to see that at the same time. Like, I don't know if we'll actually get to see it, you know, this basically the same time that it airs in the UK. But I hope so.
Wouldn't it be at Christmas time?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know if they'll actually show it then or if we have to wait until after New Year. I don't know if we're on the same schedule as that.
I know, but that sucks then. It's not Christmas.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay, I got to talk about last night's Chopped.
Okay.
It was so funny. So they bring the four people out, and then they tell them that in addition to the normal process, that they also want them to make their food somewhat holiday-themed.
Okay.
Since it's, you know, right around Christmas. So one of the guys who was one of the competitors, he probably has one of the most severe cases of ADD on the entire planet. The guy would not stop talking.
Which, that's the best show for him then.
Oh my God. Would not stop talking the entire time he was working in the kitchen, and to the point where the other competitors were getting like really rattled by him. And so, and he was really obnoxious. And then at one point he was making some kind of puree and in the blender, and he finished it off, and the guy next to him said, "Hey, do you mind if I use your blender?" And he said, "No, that's fine." So the guy takes the blender, and without dumping out the guy's stuff, pours his stuff in there and purees it.
Wow.
And so when they get to the judge's table, the guy who originally had the blender said, "You know, I don't want to be that guy, but you know, he took the blender, which I told him I was done with it and he could use it, but I said just make sure you dump it out first." And there was quite a bit of my puree in there. And they're like, "Well, is this true? Did you take it?"
Well, weren't
like,
they sitting there watching?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, of course, but so, I mean, for the sake of the camera.
Right. Because,
yeah, they're only like 10 feet away from
right.
me.
Right, so. Exactly.
So he's like, yeah.
Let me just say one thing, which is really funny to me, because you hear them talking like, "What's he doing? He looks like he's frantic or something." But they're 10 feet away. How do
you know
they
not
hear
them?
Say that?
No, they can hear him, obviously. And so the second guy was like, "Yeah, I didn't empty it out." And so the first guy's like, "Well, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a jerk, but you know, he should probably be disqualified just for that."
And is that the ADD guy?
Yeah, he's telling the judges to disqualify him.
Uh-huh.
And so Alex Guarnaschelli was one of the judges last night, and so she tells the guy, she's like, "Well, first of all, let's just talk about your food because I found it to be extremely salty." And he's like, "Really? You thought it was oversalted?" Completely insulting her. And so then the next guy, I forget which guy it is, he's like one of the Italian chef guys. He says something about the doneness of the meat and that he thought it was cooked pretty much perfectly. And he goes, "Oh, so you thought it was perfect, whereas she thought it was too salty." And the guy's like, "I'm talking specifically about the doneness of the meat." And the guy's like, "Oh, okay, okay." Like, giving the judges a hard time. And so then they go back in the kitchen and, you know, the contestants. And the one guy whose blender was taken, he's like, "You know, I didn't want to be that guy. But, you know, I wouldn't have felt right if I had said something, if I didn't say something." And the guy's like, "Hey, you got to do whatever you got to do." And he was obviously mad about it.
Right.
And the judges even told them that their purees tasted nothing alike.
Right.
So they weren't really concerned about it. So they come back out and they actually, there was a woman who was part of the four people and they chopped her. And so the ADD guy goes, I'm sorry, I just have to say, you know, if you didn't like your food, you didn't like your food. But, I mean, he really should be disqualified because he took my puree. I mean, I know I said it already. And he just, like, would not let it go. He would not let it go.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
It was so terrible. So after the next round, they come back to the judges' table. And one of the judges says something to him like, "Is you guys all good here?" He goes, yeah, we're fine. The ADD guy's like, "Yeah, we're fine. Like I said to him before, you know, we'll probably go out and get a beer later. You know, it's all good." And the judge says to the second guy, he's like, "Is that true?" He goes, "No, I probably wouldn't do that, no." It was hilarious. And so then the ADD guy got chopped. And he was telling them that they were making a huge mistake.
Look, that'll really affect their lives from that point forward.
Exactly. And he was just being completely obnoxious during the entire show. It was really, really funny. It was really funny. And the guy who, you know, took the blender, he actually ended up winning. And he, you know, he wasn't the nicest guy in the world either.
Uh-huh.
But at least, you know, he seemed like he was a better cook. So there was that. But yeah, it was a really funny episode. So what else you got for TV?
As far as stuff, I've seen nothing yet. I got stuff later.
Okay.
But I do have something that's not on our outline here that just breaking news.
Breaking news.
ABC is rolling out a new reality show called The Conveyor Belt of Love.
Oh. What, is this where baggage handlers fall in love?
I couldn't let this go without talking about it. In Conveyor Belt of Love, 30 men are rolled out before a panel of 5 women and given 1 minute to make a positive impression. Now, here's how it works. If a woman is interested in someone, that man will step aside and wait as the rest of the men go by. But if another man comes by on the belt that seems better than the woman's first choice, she can swap out the man waiting off of the belt as many times as she wants until the last man has passed by. If 2 or more of the women are interested in the same man, the tables turn and the man on the conveyor belt gets to choose which one he would like to wait for. After all 30 men have made it through the conveyor belt of love, each woman is left with her final choice as they embark on a date in the hope of finding a true connection.
So it's like speed dating with airline props, right? Basically.
And the picture they have here is a girl sitting in a chair as the conveyor belt's apparently going by, and it's a guy wearing a Speedo holding a Chihuahua. So.
Oh, no.
There you go.
What channel is this on?
ABC.
Oh, my Lord.
It will follow The Bachelor.
Oh, well, of course it will.
On January 4th.
Sure. Do we know who the new Bachelor is going to be? Is it somebody from the old thing?
Did we report on that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, remember he was a pilot. Right. The Bachelor on the Wings of Love.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's just goofy. Yeah. Conveyor Belt of Love. So,
but like you said,
so basically he's actually on the conveyor belt, and I guess it takes 60 seconds for him to pass by her. And so that's the only time
he's
got.
No, it may stop for like 60 seconds.
Oh, and then it keeps going.
And then, right.
Does it start with a jerky motion? Because what if he falls down?
I don't know.
I hope they've got the machinations worked out.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see, onto the outline here. Sci-Fi's Alice Reimagining brought the channel their highest ratings for an original movie in 2 years.
Wow.
Did you watch that?
We did not.
The little clip I saw of it looked cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
I wish I would have watched it.
You know, there have been a few of those that, did it say what the last one was? Was it Tin Man? Because that one actually looked kind of cool too, but we didn't see that either.
Right.
So, sorry.
Why did you miss that? I thought you liked sci-fi.
We do, but you know, it's
you're
like,
always complaining that there's not enough sci-fi.
I know, but you know, I
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of taking those kind of like kids things and making them sort of steampunk and sci-fi-y. I don't know why. I'm usually not entertained by those, which is why we didn't watch Tin Man. Because it did look kind of cool, but it's like, do I really want to see like the badass steampunk version of you know, Wizard of Oz? The answer to that question.
I wish I would have watched both of them.
I don't know if it was actually steampunk. I'm just saying,
right?
There's always some kind of badassery going on in these things. And I don't, you know.
You're much too wholesome for that.
No, it's not that. It's like, it's just so contrived.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's not what the story is. So if you can.
It's their reimagining of
the
story.
I know.
Who's
but
too set in their ways?
There's usually
a
reason that the thing wasn't imagined that way in the first place. I mean, sure, it was written 100 years ago, but.
Right.
You know.
Glee's popularity continues to rise as last week's episode brought the series its highest ratings.
Well, congratulations.
TNT is developing a new take on the 80s drama Dallas.
Oh boy.
The series is said to revolve around JR's and Sue Ellen's son, John Ross, and original cast members Larry Hagman, Patrick Duffy, and Linda Gray have been approached to reprise, right? See, you had me questioning to reprise their roles.
So Patrick Duffy getting lots of work then.
Why?
Well that's isn't that who we were talking about before? The first time we were talking about reprise?
Yeah, what was that in reference to?
I don't remember. Well, I can't remember. Was it from Man from Atlantis? I don't know.
I don't think so. Was it Step by Step with Suzanne Summers?
I think it may have actually been this story. I think we talked about this before, and that's when we were talking about it.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I would have remembered that.
We're going to have to look at the outline.
Yeah, we're going to have to check the tapes.
I think we are, because I think we talked about this before. I think that's why we talked about it. That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think that was the case. This was in recent news.
I don't know. I get my news sometimes, you know, from the future.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
True Blood will return with a bevy of new characters, including Russell Edgington, the Vampire King of Mississippi, his beautiful vampire boyfriend Talbot, and a werewolf named Coot, who is the ringleader of a bike gang.
A werewolf named Coot.
Yes.
Wow. Do we know who's playing any of these people? Is it
anyone
famous?
I didn't know who any of them were,
okay.
So I didn't list it.
That's actually pretty good, though. I like that. I like things with unknowns.
Right. Well, they weren't completely unknown. Like, one of them was on Ugly Betty for a while. And
one of them is Bill Clinton.
Right.
He's not completely unknown.
He's playing
coup. He's playing coup. I'll bet he is. And I'm sure that's code for something. Is there a cigar involved in that?
No.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for TV,
that's
right?
It.
Okay, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies, and I know exactly what you mean about the squirt all yeah, because it just came back to haunt me as well.
That's lovely.
Yeah, very garlicky. But I love that. I love garlic.
Yeah. I
really
do you like it 4 hours later?
No, but not necessarily, but I also think that it's very hard to get to a place where you can say there's too much garlic in something.
Yeah.
I think garlic's pretty tasty. It just adds so much to foods. Not cakes. I wouldn't want to put a lot of garlic in a cake, for instance. Probably not cookies. I don't think we need garlic Twinkies, but, you know, anything savory or above, I'm right there.
Are you wasting all this time because you haven't seen a movie?
No. Well, no, that's not why. I just like talking about garlic. No, I actually, we watched Elf on Blu-ray, but I don't really want to talk about that because, first of all, I've already seen it. And
right.
Second of all, we're going to do our holiday spectacular next week.
Right.
So I don't want to ruin anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but no, that's the only movie that I've seen in the last week.
I didn't go see anything, but something was starting on TV that we've talked about before.
Oh, sure. You tripped over the remote.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'll watch this because this will be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
So I watched the movie Obsessed.
Oh, boy.
The classic with Beyonce and Ali Larter.
Uh-huh.
And is it Idris Elba?
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. And it's just as good as you think it would be.
So it was terrible.
But in a really fun way. I watched the whole thing and I had fun with it because it's really bad and it's really ridiculous. And it's kind of like the fatal attraction for our times. But you know what's so funny is how different our times are in that in this, he never was with her.
Oh, okay.
Whereas
so
you know,
she was literally just a crazy person.
Right. Completely crazy.
But
it pretty closely follows the
formula.
Fatal attraction
otherwise.
Formula, which isn't too complicated.
Was there a rabbit?
No.
Oh, okay.
But she does like come in contact with the child and
was his name Dan?
They weren't on the roller coaster, but
oh, okay.
what was his name?
It wasn't Dan.
I don't think it was Dan.
That's too bad.
But
was he faking an American accent again?
Yeah. Does he
he's
have
British.
A
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah. You know what's really weird? His best friend in the movie was Jerry O'Connell.
Okay.
And it just was not a believable friendship at all because Jerry O'Connell was kind of like the clown.
Yeah.
And just like he just seemed a little too serious and like they just didn't seem like they would hang out together.
Right.
But of course, you know, like I'm going to nitpick this movie for,
no.
for things that don't seem believable.
Yeah.
But what was surprising to me is the detective in it is played by Christine Lottie. And like, what's she doing in this movie?
Yeah, what is up with that?
I don't know. But let me just say, Beyonce. Now, I've seen Beyonce in a few movies. And she's not
gold
good.
Member.
I mean, gold member, Dreamgirls, Cadillac Records. She's not bad in Cadillac Records, actually.
Yeah.
Or Dreamgirls, really, for that. But, you know, it's not a far stretch from who she is in that movie.
Exactly.
But she's such a terrible actress in this
really?
Movie. Really? Oh, my God. Every line that comes out of her mouth. I would compare it to almost like watching Showgirls.
That bad?
Yeah, I would say so. She
wow.
was. And
wow.
Ali Larter just takes it, you know, way too far. But
yeah.
you know, I guess.
She's kind of always Ali Larter, though.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, you can go back and watch the first Final Destination and watch her on Heroes
Legally Blonde.
And
she's in
Legally
Blonde.
I mean, she's pretty much Legally Blonde. I guess she was a little different,
right?
But otherwise, she's pretty much just the same, kind of in everything she does.
So this movie is just exactly what you expect it to be. But isn't that weird though? How our times are so different that in this one they don't have him really do anything with her.
Well, is that really an indication of the times?
I do think so. Yeah.
In what sense?
Because I think we've become so, I don't want to say righteous, but that we would have a lot less sympathy for him in this movie than, I mean, think about it. Fatal Attraction came out in the 80s, and then, you know.
Okay, well, first of all, I had no sympathy for him in Fatal Attraction because he's Michael Douglas, you know, in his heyday, pretty nice looking guy as far as things go. Glenn Close? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Right. Especially since his wife was beautiful.
His wife was a lot hotter than Glenn Close. Right. It was Glenn Close.
Right, but you did...
It might as well have been Glenn Beck.
You did... you. Did.
I'm just saying. That's really it was funny. Glenn Close.
But you did feel in that movie that, you know, he made a mistake and you felt sorry for him in that movie. Whereas I think now we've become, especially with all the Tiger Woods stuff going on. I mean, although this was made before
right.
that. But I just think we live in a much more unforgiving society in that we wouldn't have felt as sorry for his character in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would depend on how they played it out.
Right. But you know what? Let's keep in mind who's in it and how it was written. They couldn't really pull something like
no,
that off.
No, I know what you're saying. But I get the reason that I was questioning what you were saying about that is because right now, I think, is a much more liberal time sexually than we were in the 80s in terms of, you know, there are legions of young people who all they want to do in life is be famous. And right. they have no problems getting into a hot tub in their bikini on national TV to do it. You know what I mean? People
right.
are, and you know, and all the stuff that goes along with
you're
that.
You're right. I mean, as compared to the later 80s, but I think Fatal Attraction came out before, like, the AIDS movement and that.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a particularly overtly sexual period in American
society. No, but that
society.
Movie was. Remember they do it in the elevator?
No. I don't
sink?
Mean those two. I'm just saying you're talking about, in terms of talking about the times and what it's like in the times, I think we're much more sexual now than we were then, is all I'm saying.
I don't agree.
Really?
Yeah, because this was like the mid to early to mid 80s. This wasn't like, you know.
And besides, they were like in their 40s or 50s.
That's true.
So, you know. I don't know. I know what you're saying, and I think you're right. I think that, you know, and I think that probably because they were younger.
You know, we also live
movie,
in what, I mean, you love this term, but we live in what, which is ironic because of all the sex tapes and all that. We live in what people hope is a more politically correct world.
Yeah.
In that, you know, well, I shouldn't say politically correct. That's bad.
Puritanical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Puritanical world where, you know,
basically, we're a country full of prudes.
That movie would get a lot more slack and people against it if he did cheat, where than they would have 25 years ago.
Right. Well, in the movies, you know, to the movie's credit, they didn't totally then steal Fatal Attraction because he didn't actually have an affair with
right.
this girl. And you know, I think it is more of a sign of our times in that she was completely crazy because there are so many crazy people now.
Right.
I mean, we got a country full of crazy people. Don't you
think? And they just keep getting crazier.
And they keep getting crazier. Oh, boy, I tell you. That's absolutely true. Well, I kind of wish I had seen it now just to be able to have made fun of it.
Oh, it's on HBO.
Oh, okay. We got that.
There's still time.
We got the HBO. We're going to see a movie tomorrow night. I don't know what we're seeing yet, but I'm kind of excited about that. But, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit of, just for a second about, you know, last week, as we said, we, you know, we both watched The King of Kong, and I watched it through the instant streaming on Netflix. And what was really strange is we've been so busy with stuff the last few months that I had put our Netflix on pause, and you can't watch anything instant streaming unless you take that off. So I took that off, and then I still couldn't watch it, and so I called Netflix, and they're like, well, you still have a couple of movies out. And I said, well, I said we, you know, we sent the one back, and he said, yeah, we got that. And then I said, and this other one that you have us down as having, we sent that back months ago. He said, oh, okay, well, I'll take that off the account and I'll credit you the $22 or whatever it is. So I said, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, very good customer service. But what was really weird, the next day, we got three movies and we still had one out.
That's so weird.
Because there was one that we still have that we haven't watched yet that we've had for like 3 months now. But we still got three movies.
That's
so
really weird.
So it was very odd. So now I have four Netflix, which is impossible.
Right. What's it show on their website that you have?
Just the three that they sent us.
Wow.
But that's fine because since our account was on hold and we kept the other one so long,
right.
we got charged for it anyway, so when we send it back, they'll just credit us again.
Right.
But then I think they're going to send us a fourth movie, which doesn't make any sense. But whatever. I got no complaints. Netflix is a great business.
Yeah.
And good customer service, so thank you for that. Man, the garlic is really haunting me now. I'm sorry. It's causing some issues.
We're lucky no one else is in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, on to miscellaneous. Spider-Man 4 casting rumors continue to swirl. John Malkovich is said to be in line to play the villain Vulture, and Anne Hathaway is still the rumored villainess.
I like Anne Hathaway.
I did read, though, that you know, they were saying she was going to play the Black Cat. Was that?
Black Widow.
Oh, maybe it was Black Widow.
I don't know. I don't know any of those.
But now they say that she could be the Vulturess instead.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. If it's written, there is.
Is there a spider lady that she could play?
I don't know. McGee has confirmed that he will make a 5th and 6th installment to the Terminator.
Really? Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Saga. Interesting. Since I think we reported like a year ago that, what's her name? Linda Hamilton would be lending her talents in some way to all three of the next Terminator movies. And everyone said we were crazy. And I'm pretty sure they recorded new material with her, just audio.
Right.
But for the movie that was there. So, you know, hey, give us our props. Because everyone said we were crazy when we reported that.
Who said we were crazy?
People online in the
Did interwebs. They really?
Yeah. They told us we were liars and nobody should believe what we said.
Ah.
So there you go. Vindication as usual. I don't report something unless I'm fairly certain about it.
Right.
Or I'll say that I don't believe it.
Right. And that was your story. If it were my story, I'd just say it.
Just, yeah, you would just say I just made this up.
Or I'd just say not say I made it up.
Yeah.
Lea Carpo DiNardio
yes.
is the first actor cast to voice the upcoming DreamWorks animated film The Guardians. The film is an adaptation of the William Joyce books in which Santa, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, the Sandman, and Jack Frost team up to save the world from evildoers.
Ooh.
That could be fun.
That could be fun. Last night on TV, there was a Disney Christmas special called Prep and Landing.
Oh, was that on already?
Yeah. But here's what was annoying.
How was it?
It was cute. You know, here's what was annoying, though. They kept promoting it, saying that it was a classic in the making. You can't say that. You can't say that. You have to
Only
let people,
other people
see
can
it first
say it, right.
and decide if it's a classic. It was, I mean, there was nothing about it that was as magical as
like Rudolph or
you know, Charlie Brown Christmas or even a typical Pixar movie. But what was really strange then is then later in the night, we saw these commercials for some Mickey Mouse Christmas special that looked like it was rendered by the people who rendered Tron 20 years ago.
Really?
It was like, how can you do that to Mickey Mouse when you just made this really cool Pixar looking thing, you know, with characters that nobody knows about? But yeah, it was cute. You know, it was cute and it was sweet. It had a nice, you know, it had a nice, cute little story.
Right.
That had, you know, some niceness to it, which is good. But, you know, it was a typical thing made for kids today where it was kind of loud and in your face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which reminds me, I bought Up on Blu-ray.
Yes.
That is one of those movies that when you want to show off to people your Blu-ray player and how amazing it looks.
Use that. Yeah. I'm hoping that Santa brings us that for Christmas.
Yeah. That's why I didn't bring it for you today, because I figured it was on your Christmas list.
It is, as a matter of fact.
Where were we? Producer Mace Newfield has...
Sure, Mace Newfield. Love Mace Newfield. Did Hunt for Red October.
Yes. Well, that's... Why don't you let me finish my story, and you'll see that it kind of pertains to what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Producer Mace Newfield has revealed some info on the upcoming Jack Ryan film featuring Chris Pine.
Wow.
It will be an original story and not a Tom Clancy adaptation, and though this will be the youngest Jack Ryan on film so far, it will not be an origin story.
That could actually be really cool, because I really like Chris Pine. I thought he was great in Star Trek. Yeah, again, I know I've mentioned this before, but I was so annoyed with that stupid, what's his name? Who's the guy?
Ben Affleck. I'm
Jack
constantly
Ryan movie.
Annoyed of Ben Affleck.
But how do you make him younger in the future? That makes no sense. Whatever. So I guess they're going to do that again. But, you know, I kind of don't care. I just want somebody to do it to make me like that character as much as I liked it when it was played by Alec Baldwin.
Right.
Because Harrison Ford didn't do it and Ben Affleck didn't do it. So if you're going to do it right. Now, was...
Is that a disco song?
I don't know. I think you're right. I think it is. If you're going to do it right. Something like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Mace Newfield was involved with all of the Jack Ryan movies.
I don't know. Do you want me to look that up?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm right now diagnosing a connection problem, so.
What kind of connection problem?
I don't know. I couldn't go on a website.
Really?
Yeah.
Just hit refresh. I bet you it was nothing with the connection.
Oh. Well, let's see what it says about the problem. I'll move on to the next thing and then
okay.
I'll. The latest Resident Evil film, Resident Evil Afterlife, has been pushed back to January of 2011, despite Mila Jovovich's tweets stating the contrary.
You mean Mila Jovovich?
Whatever.
Yeah. Wow. So she's saying it's on, and they're saying, nah, not so much. Yeah. I kind of dig her scene.
Yeah. Hey, whatever happened with that movie that was just out a couple weeks ago that was out for like a week?
The abduction movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess they didn't
the
do
The Fourth
too well,
Kind?
Huh?
Is that not still out?
I don't know. Maybe that's what you'll go see.
I don't know. Maybe it is. We, you know, it's
kind of
nice
like
now.
More of a horror movie than it did a sci-fi movie.
It did look like more of a horror movie. I have to say one of the about the only nice thing about not going to see movies so often anymore is that when we do go, it's kind of a surprise now because we're not constantly. I mean, before our son was born, we went to the movies, you know,
at least once a week.
Two or three times a week usually, right. Especially in the summer. And then, yeah, probably once a week otherwise. So now it's kind of like a surprise. What are we going to see? Is it going to be good? You know, all that kind of thing. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see tomorrow.
So Mace Newfield, I didn't know he was producer of so many things. The new Clint Eastwood movie that's out, Invictus.
Aha.
He's producer for that.
Okay.
But he did do Some of All Fears, which was the
Ben Affleck.
As he did the Lost in Space movie.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Mace.
Clear and Present Danger.
I think a lot of people wished it had been
Patriot Games,
less clear and more unpresent.
Yeah, he's done all of them. In addition to Transylvania 65,000.
I never saw that, did you?
Oh, it's terrible.
It looked terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that movie. Wow. Was that his first film?
No. He goes all the way back to The Omen.
Really?
Yeah.
That was his first producing role? Wow. So the guy's got some street cred.
Right.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, and that he's done all of your favorite Jack Ryan movies.
You mean The One? You know, it's a shame that Ben Affleck was in Some of All Fears because story-wise, that was actually a pretty good film.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was
but
Ben Affleck.
He's Ben Affleck.
Right. So that ruined it kind of. Unfortunately.
I agree.
And I'm not a hater. I just don't think he's a particularly good actor.
No, he's not. And he's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I would much rather see something with Matt Damon, even though people make as much fun of him. I would much rather see something with
him.
No,
I like Matt Damon. For as much as I hate Ben Affleck,
yeah.
You
can't get away from the fact that The Bourne Identity was a brilliant film.
Right. Well, Matt Damon's done a lot of good. He's been great in a lot of movies. He's great in Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, he was very good in that.
Did you ever see him in... Courage Under Fire, I want to say it was called.
I don't know.
It's with Meg Ryan and Denzel Washington. That's a great movie.
I don't know. That doesn't really sound familiar.
It's about Desert Storm, and she's like a reporter, and she goes trying to uncover like
I don't know if we saw
fishy
that
going on.
Yeah, I don't know if we saw that.
And Matt Damon's really skinny in it. He lost like all this weight for it. He probably weighs like 100 pounds in it.
Yipes.
Which is not a lot.
Because he's not a big guy to begin with.
No.
I'm trying to think of what else he's been in that I liked. I don't know. Meg Ryan, you know, I used to love her so much. I have a hard time watching her anymore.
Oh, it's impossible
to
watch.
Well, she looks like
now.
A clown.
Yeah. I actually...
I'm so distracted by the way she looks.
I watched about 20 minutes of that remake of The Women, which, it's got like Annette Bening, Meg Ryan, Deborah Messing, Bette Midler. It's all women.
I can't stand Deborah Messing. I can't.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot stand her.
But it's a remake of the old like Joan Crawford movie, and in just like that one, there are no men in the movie.
Okay,
it's just women.
And the title of the movie comes from where exactly?
The Women.
Okay.
Right. But where am I going with this? Oh, Meg Ryan's in it, and really, it's distracting to watch her.
I mean, she really looks like a clown.
And it's really sad because, you know what? Her acting isn't bad at it.
No, she's a decent actor in general. And she was, you know, when she was younger, she was adorable.
Right.
I mean, just unbelievably adorable. And really,
and
really...
she still would be if it weren't solely for the lips.
Right. She just, can't you just get them undone?
I don't know.
It's distracting. It's really distracting.
If I were a plastic surgeon, I wouldn't be here.
You'd be there working on it right now.
Sucking some of the fat out.
I think she may have caterpillars in there. Like big, spoofy caterpillars. I don't know.
Well, that's all I got.
Okay, we got nothing else for TV. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk about everything else in the old mashup. Okay, we are back, and it is time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh. The
AT&T. Wow. That was like a triple moosh. Wow. AT&T now has an app called Mark the Spot that lets you let them know exactly where your iPhone is crapping out on you. According to one screenshot, however, even the app was having trouble connecting to AT&T, which, of course, is kind of funny.
They're not doing anything with that info.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, you know, I saw some story online today somewhere, and I admittedly, I didn't read it yet, but apparently the head of AT&T is not denying that their service is crappy and is saying that the solution is to charge more so that they can make their network better.
Really?
You know how expensive the iPhone plans are? They're ridiculously expensive. Like, where I would almost consider getting rid of it just because of the price.
Right.
It's so expensive. But anyway. Google is working on real-time search results. In the near future, in addition to normal search results, you'll also see a feed of the latest results pertaining to your search that are just seconds or minutes old from things like blogs and Twitter. In fact, if you go to Google Trends, you can actually see a preview of that right now, which is pretty cool. Honda will pass Chrysler to become the fourth largest auto retailer in the U.S. after Toyota, GM, and Ford. Bing Maps, which you can find at bing.com/maps/explore, are really cool. It's kind of like, it's really cool because as you like zoom in on the map, you know, at first it just scales in, but then when you get to a certain zoom level, all of a sudden the map gets, you know, underlaid with satellite views, but it's not really like satellite views. It's like aerial photography. That's shot at an angle.
Right.
And then all composited so that it actually looks like as if you were flying over the area you're looking at.
And what's really cool is you can, like, for example, the building I live in a large building.
Yeah.
There's 80 units in it. So I'm able to rotate and look at all sides of our building.
Oh, I didn't even try rotating it.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing. You can look at all sides of the building and like at different angles. I mean, you can move the angle.
That is so cool.
So I closed in on our balcony.
Yeah.
And one of our dogs is out on the balcony.
That is so cool.
I'll show you. I'll show you when we're done here.
But it's really neat. But I was really disappointed because I tried to look at Area 51 and they actually blanked it out.
So. That's clever though.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that. But so don't bother trying to do that. But yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't believe I didn't play around with the rotation.
I played with it for like an hour.
Remember, I sent it to you and you're like, well, what am I supposed to look at? I'm like, just look at it.
Yeah. No, that's because you had sent me the wrong address.
Okay. I put an extra R on there. So what? Yeah, it's bing.com/maps/explore. E-X-P-L-O-R-E. Fusion Garage, the company that was making the Crunch Pad for Crunch Gear, stole the project out from under them and is releasing it as the Juju, their own product.
Juju!
And they're going to have a little bad juju on their side for doing that, I'm assuming. Shipping should happen around mid-March. It'll be about $500, and the keyboard looks like it's way too small. So the thing is, you know, it's got like a 12-inch screen. So if the screen is, you know, and that's measured diagonally. So if the screen is, you know, let's say it's 10.5 inches wide or 10 inches wide or whatever, the keyboard looks like it only takes up about half the screen. Why would you not have the keyboard as big as possible?
Right.
I don't get that. It'll supposedly play Flash just fine and even display 1080p video from online sources. But I don't know, $500.
What is it? It's like a net.
It's like a
pad.
Yeah, a netpad. It's like the netpad that Apple is rumored to be coming out with next year. CompuLab has released a really, really tiny PC called the Fit PC2i, which is just 4 inches wide and slightly over an inch tall, and it runs Windows 7 and can play 1080p video, and it's made of aluminum, so it doesn't even weigh that much. Fully loaded, it runs $499, or you can get a version of it for $245 that's stripped down and doesn't even include Windows. HP has released their Envy 13 laptop and is supposedly one of the best laptops you can buy. The screen is only 13.1 inches with a 1600 by 900 resolution, but people are saying it's one of the best, brightest, and most vibrant displays they've ever seen.
Wow.
It's got a 2.13 gigahertz Core 2 Duo SL9600 processor, and the case is made of aluminum and magnesium, which is a coincidence because Dell has just released their Vostro V13, which is also made of aluminum and magnesium. It's really thin and light like their Adamo, but unlike the Adamo, which loaded costs $4,000, you can get the Vostro V13 for $650. That's a lot cheaper.
A lot.
Yes. LG's new SL8000 borderless is an LCD HDTV without a bezel, so the screen runs right up to the edges of the panel.
That's really
cool. It's very cool. It's on sale for about $2,100 in Russia for the 42-inch model, and no word yet on when it'll be here or for how much, but it's very cool.
Very cool.
A giant spiral of light has been seen, photographed, and video recorded by thousands of people in Norway today. Nobody is exactly sure what it is yet, but the pictures are really, really freaky. Some people are speculating that it's a Russian rocket that has fired out of control, but the Russians are denying they're doing anything up there. You got to see it. It's bizarre.
I saw it.
Yeah, right? It looks like somebody's coming through a time tunnel.
Right.
It's very strange. And finally, if you're looking for something interesting for the kiddies for Christmas, this is not part of our official Christmas guide that we'll do next week, but Shidonni is a new website for kids, Shidonni.com. Where they can go on and, you know, they have to register, obviously, but then they can, like, draw stuff and create cool little pictures and critters and creatures, and the site will automatically animate them in a little world. So it's kind of like a lot of other sites, like you know, all these other sites, like the Webkinz and stuff, where there are a lot of activities for kids to do online. Uh-huh. But the really cool thing is your kid can go on there, draw some kind of, you know, little creature or animal or whatever, and they will turn their drawing into a one-of-a-kind plush toy for your kid. It's $80, which...
Yeah, but most kids can't really draw well.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Grinch, once again. Didn't you draw well when you were a kid?
I did. Well, I'm so saying most kids.
Okay, whatever. I'm special. Mr. Special Grinch. But so for $80, your kid can have a one-of-a-kind plush toy that they drew in the first place. I think that's pretty cool. And they say if you order yours by the 14th, that you will be able to get them in time for Christmas. So that's not too bad. You got another 5 days to go. And that's pretty much all I have this week.
I have something just I have another
update. Is this breaking
news?
Breaking news?
Yeah. Video game breaking news. Though the Stargate MMO has been stalled and not coming up, they're coming out with a third-person shooter next year called Stargate Resistance.
This is not related to the MMO?
It is not related. And there's some screenshots here.
Does it look cool?
No. It looks bad.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't look bad. But
who's the developer?
Cheyenne Mountain.
Oh, so it's the same company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what it says. With development of the Stargate Worlds MMO still ongoing, troubled developer Cheyenne Mountain apparently isn't so troubled that they couldn't prepare a completely new title based on the franchise.
Yeah, if I were their investors, I think I would be a little mad right now that their big MMO that they've been working on for 5 years isn't done, but they had time to make another game.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Doesn't that seem strange?
Yeah, it doesn't look that good either.
Oh. Well, I have to say the graphics for the MMO don't look good at all. They look pretty cheesy, actually. They look like what Star Wars Galaxies looked like, you know,
right,
6 years ago.
Right.
But anyway, that's all I have for the old mashup. And you got nothing else, right?
No more breaking news.
Okay, well, then it is time, as always, for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please begin with your worst. Why are you laughing?
Because you're just so animated.
Oh, thank you.
My worst.
Wait, that was an insult, wasn't it?
A lot of people's worst.
Oh, dear.
But I'm still completely intrigued. Did you happen to catch the premiere of Jersey Shore on MTV?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. It's like The Real World, only they take, I don't even know how many it is, seven or eight Italians from Jersey and put them, they all don't know each other, and put them in a house on Jersey Shore to spend the summer.
Okay.
They have taken the dumbest, like, most muscle-headed,
idiots,
trampiest, like, oh, my God. I could quote any one of them, any line that they say in there, and it's, like, the most idiotic, ridiculous thing you've ever heard.
Yeah.
They're all proud to be, like, you know, they're like, oh, the way to be a Guido. They're really proud to be Guidos. That's what they call themselves. You know, and it's all about, you know, the tan and the hair gel. And their whole deal is that, you know, they just want to go to this house and get laid.
Yeah.
It's nightmare. But yet, it was 2 hours. I sat and watched the whole thing.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can't believe you sat there and watched that for 2 hours.
Yeah, and you know what? It really makes me embarrassed to call myself an Italian American. It does. But you know what? They've gotten a lot of backlash for it. Domino's, which is one of MTV's sponsors, says they don't want any of their commercials showing during the show.
Really?
Yeah, some of the producers have even gotten death threats.
What?
Yeah, because of the way Italians are portrayed.
Gee, I wonder who the death threats were from.
Not the mafia. But if wow. if you're just flipping through,
I am never flipping through
like
that much.
5 to 10 minutes of it.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous, but at the same time, you can't even believe that it's real. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, and the whole thing is it probably
and
really
what's
isn't.
Sad. No, but what's sad is, I mean, I really think it is. There are really like people like that.
I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to watch one of those Real Housewives movies, shows,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, that's masterpiece theater compared to this.
Oh. See, forget it. I could never do it then. I could never do it. For my worst entertainment moment of the week, you know, we had never seen this before, but we watched Cake Boss the other day.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Right. So it was a pretty fun show. And were you the one who said that you like that better than Ace of Cakes?
Yeah.
Is that you?
It's okay. More entertaining to me.
Yeah. Well, first
well,
of all.
Well, because they've got more character.
They do have a lot more character. And what's interesting, too, is they got like 157 million people working at this bakery.
Right.
I didn't know you could have that many people working at a bakery. Actually, that's not true. The Erga bakery that we used to go to in New York on Long Island was, there were always like 20 people behind the counter. So I guess that doesn't really surprise me. But yeah, there are a lot more character, you know, kind of funny, goofy characters on the show. But the moment that qualifies as the worst is they had these clients come in, these two girls who were kind of younger, and these two guys who work there, one of them goes into the back and he's like, hey, come check out the hot chicks in front. So they come out and these two guys are just like staring at these girls like hot chicks, you know. So they asked the boss, whatever his name is, what's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So they asked the boss if they could deliver the cake when it came time to deliver the cake. And he's like, you know, I'm not running a dating service here. You know, I just need you guys to deliver cakes. That's all. So finally he tells them that he's going to let them deliver the cake to the event that these girls are doing, which is for their business. And are you paying attention over
yes,
there?
Yes, I'm just preparing for the next.
Okay. And I just have to check because, you know, a lot of times it seems like you're gone. And so he tells them that they're going to be able to make the delivery, but they have to dress up as elves. So these two guys are going to hit on all these chicks, but they're going dressed up as elves. Okay.
Uh-huh.
He's so not paying attention.
I am paying attention.
He's
I
reading
just,
something.
I got what? No,
so,
I just
okay,
get...
but so here's the worst part. So they go and they deliver the cake and the girls are all gaga over it. And there's tons of women there. There's like 20, 25 women there, right? And so all of a sudden the one guy goes, yeah, you know, we wanted to come see you girls. And the only way he would let us come over here and deliver the cake as if we dressed up as elves. So, you know, there's that. And they're like, okay, well, the cake was great, but, you know, seeing them deliver as elves, that was even better. So then one stupid kid turns to the women and says, so since we got dressed up as elves and came all the way out here dressed up as elves, do you think we could get your phone numbers?
No.
Yes.
That's not good for business.
No, it was not good for business. And it was so awkward. It was so awkward. It was terrible. Terrible.
But much more entertaining than Ace of Cakes.
You know what? Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I still like Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, it's charming.
It is charming, but I think that's about all it is.
Right. And I have to say, I'm not, you know, there's other cake programs on, especially like those Food Network challenges. Their cakes aren't always spectacular.
Yeah, I've usually
liked...
A lot
of times they're good, but sometimes I'm just like, that's not... spectacular.
This one that he made for the women's event was really neat. It was really cool.
No, but I'm referring to Ace of Cakes.
Right. No, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
And I'm agreeing with you that this guy seems to be really good. We don't have any like good bakeries like that here. It really bums me out. I don't mean necessarily cakes, but they do a lot of other stuff there.
Right.
It's just that this show focuses on
cakes. There's a couple downtown. There's actually, as far as those kind of cakes go,
yeah.
There's a couple girls. The name of the store is Cake Girls.
Yeah.
And they do amazing, amazing, just like you wouldn't believe the artwork they do. And they've been on a lot of those Food Network challenges where they do the big, elaborate cakes. Oh, yeah.
There's another
they've won a couple, too.
I can't remember what it's called, but there's another one here in Chicago that's pretty famous for doing spectacular cakes. But, you know, we called them when we got married a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
and it was like they wouldn't do anything under $1,500. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
For a cake? You know people are going to eat this, right? And then we're not going to have it anymore?
Yeah. Well, you'll have pictures.
$1,500 for a cake?
Yeah.
That's insane. But anyway.
Believe me, there are people in Chicago that would pay more than $1,500 for a cake.
I'm sure there are, but I'm not one of those people. No. Okay, so what was your best entertainment
moment? My best entertainment moment of the week is last
week. Also Jersey Shore.
It's the best. Those guys are so smart.
Yeah. Hey.
No, you know what? I've been complaining, or haven't been complaining, but inside complaining, that Saturday Night Live has just become terrible.
Oh, boy.
It's terrible. I mean, week after week, I keep taping it and watching the whole thing and just hoping that there's some little nugget that's funny, and usually there's not. But I have to say this week's was pretty good. There was some really funny stuff in this week's. And I have to say, I've never watched Gossip Girl, but the host of Saturday Night Live this week was that Blake Lively, who I guess is from Gossip Girl. I don't even know if she's done anything else.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever seen her. But she was great on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of times they'll have stars on and the star just sits there and reads the teleprompter.
Yeah, it's
and,
really
like,
annoying.
Gets too lost in that. And like, they fought. She had all her lines memorized, never looked at the teleprompter once, and got really into her characters. So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for her for that, first of all, like to give it that much, you know, determination.
To take it that
devotion.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that always surprise you,
though? But she also did great characters. She was
really
good. Yeah. But my favorite, it was one of the digital shorts. It wasn't even one of the skits, and she wasn't even in it. But they did this. It was another musical number. I don't know how often you watch it, but Andy Samberg does all these like musical numbers.
Yeah.
Well, this is one where they had done a song for this like grade school class. And so Rihanna was the musical guest. So Rihanna did the song. You probably don't know much by Rihanna.
No.
Okay. So Rihanna's singing the song.
Did she say her name anywhere in the song? Her own name?
Possibly.
Okay.
And she's singing the song about the kids, blah, blah, blah. And then and it's supposed to be a duet with her and Adam Samberg, who's playing this rapper called Shyrani.
Andy Samberg.
I always do that. It's doing this rapper called Shyrani.
Okay.
And Shyrani.
Right.
And so then when it's his turn to do the thing, he just like mumbles into the mic. So she starts singing, telling him what to do. And she's like, speak up, speak up. And then like at one point he has like feedback and she's singing, you know, put the mic to your mouth. And she gets so frustrated that like she's singing back her frustrations with him.
Right.
I'll show it to you during when we're on the break. But check it out. It was really funny. But finally, you know.
Yeah, a good episode.
Because I just expect to be disappointed every week. And there was some really funny stuff in it.
Yeah. But, you know, you brought this up. It always surprises me when I see people, the guest stars, you know, the guest hosts, and they're reading off the teleprompters. It's like, I'm sorry, don't you do this for a living?
Well, not only that, but you hear from them that they've been working on it all week.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's what I'm saying. You've been working on it all week, and you do this professionally.
Right.
Shouldn't you be able to do this professionally? Since you do this professionally?
And also, I mean, there's got to be some improv. I mean, you can't tell me that they're required to stay on their script completely to
exactly.
where they have to worry about watching the teleprompter because they have to get every word correct.
Right. Right. I don't know. That just seems very odd to me. I'm always disappointed when I see that.
Right.
I forget who it was that Lindsay Lohan, I remember, even though that episode is still, that skit is still one of the funniest things I've seen on there in years.
Right.
I mean, she was reading from the teleprompter and, like,
they
everything she
do.
Was doing.
They all do.
Yeah. That's disappointing. For my best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to go with the second-to-last episode of Doctor Who Series 4. It was such a good episode. I can't even put into words. Like it was 3 days ago that we watched it, and it's still, like, in my head. You know what I mean?
And what's the reason for that?
Well, you know, you kind of have to, I really want you to watch that show because it's such a unique vision and a unique experience, not just in sci-fi, but in TV in general. You know, obviously Doctor Who has a very long history. It's been on since the 60s, I think, in one form or another. It was off for a while and then came back and then was off again. And now it came back a few years ago as this show. So I can't really speak to any of the original stuff that happened before this. But you kind of pick up on things here and there because of things that they do in the stories and whether it's through exposition or other characters that they bring on or whatever. But it's, you know, it's a very interesting show in that there's no pretense of cool. It's just, they just do whatever they're going to do. They get the craziest ideas for stuff with the like cheesiest looking aliens and they just do it and it works. It's just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And so the third to last episode his, you know, the Doctor always travels with a companion. And so the third to last episode,
like the hooker?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't really on the show. They were on some planet, and she just wanted to go sunbathing. So he went off and did his thing by himself, and it really just focused on him during the episode. And it was kind of an intense episode and kind of creepy, really. And so then the next episode, the second to last one, was called Turn Left, and it really just focused on her this time. And so what happened was they were again on some planet, and they were like in this flea market that had a very Asian feel to it. And, you know, way in the future. And she goes into this little fortune teller shop, and the fortune teller, she doesn't realize this, but the fortune teller is bad and is putting, there's this like thing called it's just like a time bug, some kind of time bug.
Right. I've had that. Yeah.
That's on her back.
Yeah. Oh, I've had a time bug on my back.
So you know what I'm talking about. But basically, through the time bug, she makes Donna go back in time and make a different choice, again, going back to sliding doors.
Yes.
Going back to sliding doors, making a different choice the day that she decided to go work for the company that she worked at the first day she met the Doctor.
Right.
So she changes the entire past of Earth by doing this, and the Doctor doesn't do all of these things that he's done throughout the course of the show
right.
to save the Earth from being annihilated at different points in time. And so all these like horrible tragedies befall first, you know, parts of England and then the United States and then the rest of the world. And it's like this really dystopian society that they're living in. It's incredibly bleak. And finally, you know, obviously towards the end of the episode, they kind of she figures out what's going on, and she starts to right some of these wrongs somehow. And she, along with Rose Tyler, who was the Doctor's companion in the first two seasons, who's come back from a parallel Earth, they put things back the way they should be. But it was such a great episode because it brought back so many previous storylines, and it brought back Rose, who really hasn't been on the show in 2 years.
Right.
And they took
so
the
it's kind of like when they bring Kim back on 24.
No, it's really nothing like that whatsoever. But it was just, I don't know, I you know, if you haven't seen the show, you can't really appreciate what I'm saying, but it was just right. such a powerful episode. And like I said, a few days later, it's still like, when I woke up this morning, I found myself thinking about it still.
Right.
And then the next episode was the season finale, and it was actually
and
pretty.
And now it's no more?
And now, there's going to be another one starting in, you know, starting next year.
Right.
I don't know when. And right. again,
so
I don't know if
are you
the
watching
same
these
schedule.
On DVD? Or
yeah,
they...
we're watching them on DVD.
Okay.
Because we've never, you know, watched it when it was live because right. we started watching it after.
Well, it's not really live. It's a tape program.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so that was great. And if I hadn't picked that as my best entertainment moment of the week, the reason I asked you at lunch if you had seen Letterman the other day is he did a top 10 list that was top 10 least favorite standards. And he had Michael Bublé come out and sing them. And so it was all like they took like standards and they changed the lyrics to be about, you know, different things like that. We've got to find it online so you can see it. It was so funny. And I mean, you know, some of them were funnier than others, like with all the top tens. But just the fact that Michael Bublé came out and was singing them, you know, made it that much better.
Right.
It was really funny. It's really funny. So I was glad I caught that. So you got anything else you want to go over?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, thanks as always for listening. And don't forget, you can contact us in one of the many ways that we tell you about every week. I'm not going to do it this week because I always get a hard time from Tony over there. And why don't you say it?
Facebook, iTunes.
Email.
podcast@pause.com.
There you go. All right, cool. Thanks as always for listening. Don't forget, next week, our big holiday spectacular. And
I feel so much pressure.
You should. And we will see you next week.
Bye.